Unlike in the U.S., we have no national mammal. They have had one for almost 30 years. It's called a takin. And it's interesting because takin are the forerunners of muskox, which we have here in the Arctic, of course, but also somewhat related to mountain goats.
Related how? An ancestor? Or
Yeah. So they were they're an earlier species, and then they had several different lineages of which mountain goats broke off and, of course, are only here in North America.
And why are they worthy of study?
Given that they're the national mammal of Bhutan, Bhutan knows very little about their takin. They've asked us here at the University of Montana to help coordinate conservation programs, which means that we need to know something about the science and generate some science. And we're doing it in conjunction with Bhutanese colleagues because they don't yet have the infrastructure. So we're serving as advisors, but they're doing the field work. But I'm doing field work there too, of course.
Are they threatened?
Not much is known, and so we don't know if their populations are going up, stable, going down, but they do have a dubious distinction. Low elevation, they're preyed on by tigers. High elevation, they're preyed on by snow leopards, and so it's like a double whammy for them. And there are these bizarre forest, herd-living, 800-pound, beautifully colored, mysterious animals.
Bigger than mountain goats.
The size of mountain goats, but very nimble still on cliffs.
You are also going to be studying mountain goats in Glacier National Park. And one of the reasons for the study, I gather, is because the Park Service is concerned about increasing interaction between goats and humans in the park.
In the park, there are really two issues. There's always a safety issue with the public. And then secondarily, there's the Going to the Sun Highway. And we know very little about its effect on wildlife and in particular on goats. And so the study that we're involved in conducting is really two-faced. One is to understand a little bit more about the ecology of goats because very little is known. Of course, our eminent Chadwick wrote a book on them, 30 years ago and has continued to follow goats, but not that much is really known. And then the second issue, in addition to the road, is, of course, a human safety issue because there was a person, most regrettably, killed over in Olympic National Park about 3 years ago, a hiker, yes.
And he was killed when he was trying to get the goat off the trail, and he had sent the people who were hiking with him down the trail while he did that and was gored.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was gored in the leg. It was a remarkably unfortunate circumstance. It was a goat that had become habituated, either used to looking for salts or some sort of human handouts. And when animals become habituated, they can become a little bit more dangerous. But yes, he had sent his hiking party out ahead and tried to deter the goat and get around it. And he was gored in the femoral.
Goats in Glacier have been studied before, and that ended tragically for the goats. There were two goats who died from being tranquilized.
Mm-hmm. I was involved in that. I was the PI, principal investigator on that. And through a series of learning experiences, which were unfortunate because goats should not die, and they did, we used some experimental drugs because we had a problem transporting across the airlines the drugs that have been used for more than 350 mountain goats safely in the past. And so as a consequence that we could not transport, and I'm not blaming the airlines, it's a very complicated thing when one uses opioid drugs. We had a veterinarian from the Bronx Zoo. Who is very, very good. But the drugs that we ended up using had only been used on 9 goats in history in the past from what we can tell.
And it didn't work.
It was an unfortunate combination of the two drugs that killed the first two goats. We called a halt to the project. The park superintendent, Chaz Cartwright, certainly agreed with the decision. It was unfortunate for everybody. And we learn from mistakes and move forth.
Anyone who goes to Glacier on any sort of regular basis has an interaction with goats. They're ubiquitous at the pass, especially, which is one of the most visited, it probably is the most visited part of the park. But I haven't heard of any particularly serious encounter of goats and humans where humans have felt threatened by the goats, for example.
At this point, we're trying to get a better handle on the nature of the interactions between people and goats. Occasionally, Park Service does a little bit of hazing of goats. This includes yelling or moving aggressively toward the goats to move them away so that they do not become overly habituated. I'm not sure what overly really means. But on the other hand, no, there haven't been, to our knowledge, serious injuries to people. But we're just trying to get a better handle on a couple of issues. And the first is, of course, the human safety issue. But the second is maybe an indirect effect, by which I mean if goats are congregating unnaturally in parking lots or accessing human food or human products one way or another, they may be having inadvertent effects on vegetation. They may be moving away from the backcountry to the front country, so to speak. And so we're just trying to really understand a little bit more directly what the roads and what the people mean to goats. And of course, in the long term, is this going to have any kind of an impact on the population level of the goats?
You will also be studying climate change impacts on the goats, as well as you have studied climate change on other mammals, I think muskox in the Arctic, mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. on. Will you be studying that as well in Glacier?
It's relatively easy to add a number of variables to the study. For instance, once we know where goats are, and those are, as you pointed out, Sally, easy to find, certainly in the Logan Pass area. But we can have different kinds of recording information out there, so we know what solar radiation is, and so we know what precipitation patterns are. We know whether they're on north slopes or south slopes, what kind of vegetation they're using. And so these are very easy attributes to gather. And so, yes, we will be doing that, although the primary purpose of the study, as I indicated, is direct and indirect effects of roads and people, but certainly to ignore the changing glacial scene that's going on up there and to look at how this may redistribute goats, it would be remiss for us not to take that approach.
You've written that one of your goals as a conservation scientist is to, quote, maintain what we have and restore what we've lost. How's that going?
We have some good stories to add. I think there's a lot of doom and gloom out there in the world, and you know, we certainly have high levels of human population and some resource crunches that come when everybody wants to live like Americans do, which is understandable. But even if we look in our backyard, we have more cougars now than we had 30 years ago, grizzly bears, wolves. Black-footed ferrets, California condors. We've seen a number of initiatives. They take time. They cause a little bit of angst with some of the public. But overwhelmingly, the American public has supported this through initiatives and through legislation. And we're doing reasonably well compared to a lot of other countries. Yes, I like maintaining what we have, and the opportunities when it's reasonable and not draconian on human livelihoods to bring things back.
Because you've also said, quote, humanity's callousness is frightening.
We are a consumer world, not just the U.S., but the world. And I heard on NPR today about a Chinese 25-year-old fellow in Inner Mongolia who paid $900-some thousand for a Maserati. There's a lot of consumerism, and somewhere the extreme variance that we see in the world, if we want, I think, a better world for all people, we need to narrow that. And that comes not without a cost.
Well, I have been speaking with Dr. Joel Berger, who is the John J. Craighead Chair of Wildlife Conservation at UM, also a scientist with the Wildlife Conservation Society, and also the winner of this year's Aldo Leopold Award, honoring your contribution to the conservation of mammals and their habitats. Well-deserved award. Congratulations on that.
Sally, it's always wonderful to work with you and to work with NPR.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.